It is not good for the man to be alone. Friends, these famous words of our Lord from today's first reading point to the fact that human beings are simply not complete in and of themselves. Despite what our current culture of self-invention claims, like I create whoever I am, I complete myself, I determine every single aspect about me, that's not true, but that's the claim. Despite this, the truth is that we need each other, and we only become complete through relationship with each other, especially in and through relationship with God. And it all starts with the most basic unit of life, the family, which is held together by the marital covenant between a man and a woman. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. God's love is so beautifully revealed in and through this bond with an intensity and intimacy that couples can never experience on their own. Try as they may, it's not going to happen. And He designed it this way, with Him in the middle. We have to remember that God created marriage. It's not a societal construct, despite what we might hear in media and social media and whatnot. God made marriage. And He created it to be an amazing experience of His super abundantly generous, self-emptying love. But self-emptying, of course, requires sacrifice. And only by sacrificing for one another through God's grace do man and woman become complete as they harness the full joy and fruitfulness of marriage. In short, by loving like God does, they enter more deeply into His love. However, humanity has struggled throughout the ages to accept and live out the fullness of this calling to marriage and family life as God designed it. Not as I designed it, or you, or society, as God designed it. And immense damage has resulted. This passage that we have in the first reading, which Jesus refers back to, from the beginning, that's what He's talking about, the beginning. This is original justice, original holiness, original innocence, original dignity. And it's all shattered in a moment by, you guessed it, original sin. And then sin, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, physical death. All the chaos and confusion that we see nowadays has been handed on to us through this original sin. And it's all a failure to follow the plan that God laid out for us, which is fundamentally rooted and grounded in that marital bond. Therefore, in the fullness of time, God Himself entered directly into human experience to demonstrate His love ever more clearly and guide humanity back towards life in Him, back towards the beginning. As we heard in today's second reading, the wonderful passage from the letter to the Hebrews, Christ was made lower than the angels for a little while. This refers to Him taking on human flesh, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. And we think, whoa, that's not all that cheery, right? What is this guy writing about? He continues, it was fitting that He, for whom and through whom all things exist, this is God the Father He's referring to, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. Now He's pointing to Christ. He's the leader to our salvation in order to bring many children to glory. That's why He did it. And that's why it's amazing. And that's why it's wonderful. Friends, this is the reason Christ came down from heaven, the cross. That's it. He came to die for us, to lead us back to the beginning. Of course, it doesn't end on the cross. It ends with the resurrection and ascension. Yes, He wanted to be in radical solidarity with us as a brother. He took on the fullness of humanity, except sin. He became one of us, radically. But ultimately, He came to show us what true love and true marriage look like. It's right here. It's a cross. That is Christ's wedding bed. That's his marriage bed, where He made this marriage with us, the church. Total self-emptying love for His bride. That's what it looks like. That's what marriage is meant to be. And we celebrate this marriage banquet. It's the Eucharist. These are the fruits that He's passed down through us by virtue of His sacrifice. So in a word, he ultimately came down to point us back, to lead us back to the beginning. That's what this human life was all about. Okay, having surveyed the first and second readings, we can now enter more deeply into today's gospel passage where Christ reveals the full dignity of marriage that we've been kind of talking about here. Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses permitted divorce, Christ teaches. So clearly divorce is not God's idea. It's not something he came up with. Not at all. That's not what he had in mind. From the beginning of creation, God created man and woman to complete each other and build up the human family on earth together through the great gift of marriage. Despite the inherent difficulties, and I know there's tons of families here, you know about the difficulties, right? Marriage is a gift. It's not a burden. A gift that bears the exquisite fruits of his love, so many of them, so many little ones here, and gives witness to his glory in and through the difficulties. This is the cross. Christ says, you know, he says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And yes, there are crosses in and through marriage, but through the cross, we receive all of the blessings, all of the good things that we have. And so through your struggles and your sufferings, if you persist in and through Christ, blessings, that's what results. If the love of husband and wife is truly self-emptying, then their sexuality will reach its full potential, bringing them into full union and producing much, much fruit. However, as mentioned earlier, the trouble is that sexuality and marriage are very often used and abused for selfish purposes, the exact opposite of God's intention. Christ knows this, and therefore he continues teaching and famously proclaims the permanence of marriage. It lasts forever. This is one of his most clear and one of his most difficult teachings. God created sexuality and the marital bond, so they aren't playthings for us to manipulate at will. As such, marriage should be discerned. Is God calling me to marriage? And if so, then it should be sought out as a good, not purposely avoided as a burden. But people must seek out the fullness of marriage, not the many cheap alternatives that we see today, where there's a lot of cohabitation and a number of other kind of cheap alternatives. That's not going to get the job done. So don't seek the fullness, not this second best or third best or less. And also, people shouldn't get married for the wrong reasons. In haste, you might think, oh geez, you know, you've got a couple and one of them has to move away for a job or whatever, oh, better get married then. That's not a good idea, just to do it in haste. Also, the girlfriend might become pregnant, and some of the older folks there might remember the term shotgun wedding. You know, the father of the daughter has the shotgun, you better marry my daughter, I'm gonna shoot you. Also not a good idea to get married. So let God lead the way. Let him lead the way. He must be in the middle, or it just won't last and bring wife and husband to flourishing. And that's what God wants for us all. He wants us to flourish. A big part of this flourishing, of course, involves having children for those who are able. Those who aren't able, there's many other fruits that God brings about through their marriages. But most people are called by God to have children. And yet many people resist this. Much like the disciples who prevent people from bringing children to Christ. We see that in the gospel. At the 8 o'clock mass, it was hilarious. Right as I was pronouncing these words, a little boy came running up right here. His mother, horrified, came and grabbed him. As I was saying that people are preventing their children from coming, the mother was horrified. But in today's world, so many disciples, so many Christians are choosing other things over trusting in Christ. Things like contraception, things like abortion, things like pets. People have these fur babies. They don't want to have children, but they're going to have, they call them fur babies. So instead of entrusting Christ with their sexuality, they pull back. And that the results are not good. Friends, don't have a hardened heart. Just don't do it. And expect that the church should meet your demands for sexuality, for marriage, for other aspects of your life. Instead, seek to follow Christ back to the beginning. Back to the original beauty, profundity, and dignity of life. Most people are called by God to the vocation of marriage. This is their path, the primary path that they have to heaven. And the world is in such desperate need of strong, faithful marriages. The family is that fundamental building block of human life. As St. John Paul II was fond of saying, the school of humanity is the family. And yet the brutal destruction of the family is playing out right before our eyes. We talked about contraception, abortion. There's also a brutal assault on authentic masculinity. And then we have reproductive health care. I already mentioned contraception and whatnot fits in there, but there's a whole bunch of things under that envelope, none of which are health care. They all distort a perfectly functional body and make it not function properly. That's not health care, last I checked. I'll talk more about these, you know, over time through the homilies. But for now, most of you are called to marriage. Discern it. Live it to the full. Become your true self and help transform society along the way.